Hi, I'm Sandra.
And I'm Em.
And this is Family Personalities, the podcast that helps you create a more peaceful and compassionate family dynamic using personality type. This is cool because we haven't recorded together in forever.
I know, I'm so excited. And our daughters have become best friends in that time.
I know, that's so amazing. They're so sweet together.
They are so sweet. They have just like this underlying kindness between them. Like they always, it's like really sweet. They'll say something like, oh, but that person's really kind. Like they're just like, give the benefit of doubt to people. They're just so sweet together.
They are.
And they love all the same things is what they'll tell you.
Me meows.
Kitties. If you know, you know.
Well, we didn't have a me meow obsession before June.
So I know.
Thanks for that.
Sorry for that.
So yeah, we are going to talk about Lily today. So that's my daughter. She is 8 and a half. And it's funny. Didn't we talk to June? No, we talked to June. Maybe she was like 7 and a half at the time.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
But they are the same age, or June's like a half year older. And Lily has ISFP preferences. And so the two cognitive functions that ISFPs use is that first one is the introverted feeling. That's like the dominant process. And we talked about that last episode, which I posted 3 months ago. You can go back and check that out. And it's all about paying attention to the values, desires, and tastes that resonate with the self to decide in an authentic way. Yeah, so that's episode 102. And then the second function that ISFPs use is called responsive sensing or extroverted sensing, which is all about attuning to the present moment, taking in information with one's five senses in order to respond with immediate practical action. And we talked about that way back on episode 60. If you don't even know what a cognitive function is, you can listen to episode 39, Intro to Cognitive Functions. You can check out familypersonalities.com/functions for the functions cheat sheet. And you can find all the basics of Myers-Briggs at familypersonalities.com/basics. So I went through, and this is like old because I recorded this with Lily a couple months ago, three months ago. And I just finally got around to editing it recently and then got you and my schedule nailed down. But I recorded like a little over a half hour with Lily, just asking her questions about her personality type. It was super cute and fun. And a couple of, like, before I start playing the clips, a couple of little background things. One is that I cut out, this is the same as I did with June, and I've had to do with pretty much any introverted kid I've had on. I had to cut out a lot of silences. So what you're hearing is a very cut down version, but keep in mind that like there's a lot of wait time with introverts when you ask them questions, right? But just for the ease of listening, I cut out all those silences. And then Riker was actually in the room while we were recording. So that made for like a little different because she knew he was listening in. But and in this first clip, you can actually hear him. He interacts a little bit.
Did he have any feedback?
Oh, at the very end, he finally piped in a little bit, but so I need to find the folder. I've got now everything in my folders is all my new podcast about housewives. And I just recorded an episode earlier today.
I still can't get over that Salt Lake City finale. That was
wild. Did you listen to our episode on it?
No, but I will.
Me too.
I'm your driving drive. To Salem. Yes. Yeah. So now I.
Oh my gosh. And yeah, now Monica's not coming back. And yeah, it's a whole thing.
I like didn't really watch that thing. And then I watched that episode because I saw like a clip and I was like, this is insane. Like, this is amazing television.
Yeah. It was one of the best, maybe the best Housewives finale I've ever seen.
I think so.
Volume up. Okay. Here is the first clip. And Riker is in the room for this.
You're not this type.
We're talking about introverted feelings.
Yeah, and I'm introverted.
Well, Riker's introverted also, but you use introverted feeling.
I'm feeling.
Riker uses introverted intuition.
Intuition!
I tell you what, love you, Riker. You can have a spot in this episode if you want to come say something nice about your sister on the mic.
Okay, I'm not.
Oh my God!
Okay, so that was just to display her cute little personality.
That's so Lily. I am introverted.
And then showcase that Riker had nothing nice to say, so he chose to say nothing at all.
Caught that.
And it's funny, she's come a long way with like the introverted feeling is very like sensitive, right? And she used to not be able to take stuff like that, but she has come a long way in that. So she can now take something as like funny or as a joke. And so in that moment, so she's just like, oh my God, you don't have anything nice to say about me, you know, instead of like breaking down about it. So that has come a little bit with some maturity and like talking through things and just figuring herself out.
That's a lot of growth.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I wasn't expecting it to happen this early, honestly. So this second clip is just kind of talking about what she likes in school. How old are you and what grade are you in?
I am 8 years old and I'm in third grade.
Yeah, come closer to the mic and say it again.
I am 8 years old and I'm in third grade. I'm 8 years old and I'm in third grade. I'm getting ready.
Okay.
I'm getting ready because...
Fine. Say it as many times as you want.
I'm 8 years old. I'm 8 years old and I'm in third grade.
Perfect.
Great. I'm 8 years old and I'm in third grade.
All right.
I'm good at this.
What is your favorite thing about school?
It's hard.
What is one of your favorite things about school?
I really like reading and writing class. Like it's language arts side of. I like language arts.
And why do you like that?
'Cause I like to write stuff and reading. I really like to read stuff like that.
I know you like to read.
Reading.
Okay, what do you like to read about?
Well, we're doing a certain thing in reading class. Mm-hmm. Where like we read this one book chapter by chapter. And it doesn't go too fast and, like, not too slow. It's, like, the right pace for me. You don't really have to catch up that much because, like, you get to read the chapter however many times you want, like, through 1 week. So that just gives you a lot of time. So even if you miss part of it, you can still read it. You still have plenty of time to read it. I like that.
That's adorable.
Yes, yeah, so the I'm in third grade. How she kept saying, I'm 8 years old and I'm in third grade. I even cut out some. So she definitely likes to practice things to get them right. I saw that as very extroverted sensing. The repetition. One of her favorite things to do is to memorize songs. This is something that like Riker, for instance, as an INTJ, just doesn't have the same patience for. Like he would never sit there and like practice something until he got it right. It's just like boring to him. Right. But yeah, she will do that. She loves to like listen to a part of a song over and over again until she gets the lyrics exactly right and then move on to the next part of it.
And that's similar to the reading the chapter book, right? She can read it. This, you kind of get the vibe of listening to, you know, listening to understand or reading to understand, like not just perfunctory.
Yeah. Yeah. She can totally read something over and over again. And when she was talking about the thing she picked to talk about as one of her favorite things in class, I thought it was interesting that she picked the thing where she feels the least time pressure. Because the only ever note we've gotten from like she's an incredible student. She loves learning. So she's like the dream student because she's always happy to be there and she's always excited about what she's doing. And the only note we've ever gotten was last year, her teacher said that it takes her a long time to finish her projects and she has a hard time like actually finishing them because again, with the extroverted sensing, I see her as like just getting caught up in the moment. Like she's in the process, she's in what she's doing. She's not thinking about getting to the end or what does she need to do to get to the end. For her, it's like, I'm just enjoying what I'm doing right now. And so, I think she feels that like pressure from school of always like you have to get to the end of something, and she doesn't like that. And so she picked the one thing where she doesn't feel the time pressure.
Yeah, that totally tracks. It's interesting though, and I contrast that with June because they are just so similar. The only note that we get back from June, which is interesting because June is so like Lily, like loves learning, easy kid to have in the class, is the opposite, is that she tries to be the first to turn things in.
Yeah, that sounds right. That's Riker. And that's a very J thing. Maybe even IJ more. No, I mean, I guess it was EJ. But yeah, that wanting to get it done.
Get it done. And then the teacher says, you need to go back. Like, June, this is like, because June's a, like Lily, a great artist. And she's like, this isn't your work, but she wants to be first, wants to get it done, wants to read it quickly. And that's something that like we're really working on.
Yeah, Lily does not have that. She will spend years on it, just getting it exactly the way she wants it to be. No intention of ever finishing, which I'm totally fine with.
It's a
When
great
her
skill.
teacher gave her that note, I was like, psh, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, I hope she never loses that. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah, but when you said that, that was the thought I was thinking in my head. I was like, I hope she gets to keep that in adulthood. That's a wonderful quality.
Yeah, to just enjoy what you're doing and not be worried about the time pressure. Like, oh, amazing. I love that for her. And then also I noticed in this clip that I had to rephrase my question, and I cut out the pauses and the, but it, like when I was asking her favorite thing in class, like that was too much pressure. Like it was a very long, like, oh, I don't know, I don't know. There was a lot of back and forth. And then when I rephrased it to, can you pick one thing that you like about school? That was easier for her to find something. And this is a good tip for any perceiving child. To say, like, what's one thing that happened today instead of what was the best thing that happened today? Because for introverted feeling, that's the dominant process that ISFPs have. It's a really long process for introverted feeling to decide what best is. Like, that's a, it's just a, it's a long, open-ended type thing. And so that's a lot of pressure. Compared with like extroverted thinking, for example, where Riker would be like, this is the best and this is the second. And then and he's done and it's final and he's decided. Right.
June's teacher sent a list of questions to ask instead of like, what's your favorite thing? Because June also freezes with that. Not, but I can't find the list. So if anybody knows about this list of like, it's like, what is something you enjoyed in reading today? Or it was like, so it
Yeah.
wasn't just like pressure to be like, what's your favorite thing? And just frozen.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. Okay, so in this third clip, I ask her what is unique or special about her. What do you think makes you unique or different or special compared to your peers at school or your brother?
What do you mean, peers?
Oh, like the other kids in your class.
Okay, I don't know what makes me feel like that.
What makes Lily Lily, though? What's something about you that's unique? What if I ask one of your friends, what makes Lily special? What do you think they might say? Or your teacher?
I'm good at like shifting my energy. Like, I can be really happy, and then like in 5 seconds, I can become sad.
And does it go the other way too? Like you can be really
Yeah,
sad and then in
sad, and
5 seconds you can
I'm
be really
just
happy.
happy. Sad, happy, happy, sad, happy, sad, angry, sad, happy, angry, sad, angry, happy, angry, angry, happy. I don't have to say all
I do think
that.
that is unique and special. I don't think everyone can
Yeah.
do that.
I don't know if anybody can. Can everybody do?
That's very perceptive of her own behavior and insight to how she feels.
Yeah, and but it's also very true. Like she is very, one moment she's like down in the dumps, and the next minute she's like full on belly laughing. And it's very like, what is happening in this moment and how am I feeling about it? And then if the moment changes, then she's feeling a totally different way. And that's very much like that introverted feeling and extroverted sensing combined. Like what's happening in the moment drives the feeling, and the feeling changes with it. And I'm sure that I've put that into words for her before. And so that's, you know, why she's able to articulate it. But also I noticed that she was really struggling. Like, again, I cut out like long pieces of like silence and hemming and hawing. And it was when I said, what would your teacher maybe say, was when she came up with this answer. So I was really curious. I almost want to ask her teacher, you know, did her teacher like notice this about her and say something about it? The teacher's like, wow, you really are all over the place with your emotions.
I mean, I would have a hard time believing a teacher said that, but maybe, who knows? I also think at this age, it's really tricky. I don't know if you've experienced this, but we've had some of our first like kind of friendship conflicts. And then, Sean sent me a text. I was on a panel and I was going to go meet with the people who were on the panel afterwards. And he's like, June had a really tough day, you know, like friend stuff, friend said this, blah, 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 blah. So I come home because it seemed like this was a very big deal. Mm-hmm. And within 30 minutes, they were playing Roblox together. And I was like, I don't understand this world. I'm just here for the ride.
Yeah, we had a lot more last year in second grade than this year of the friendship conflicts and difficulties. She was a lot more emotional at the end of school days last year. I'm not sure why that is.
Take out one kid and it can change the whole.
Yeah, I'm sure different kids, maybe even just like a different teacher and different energy in the classroom. I actually think that I'm not 100% sure. I don't know her teacher super well, but what I do know of her teacher, my guess is that her teacher actually leads with introverted feeling. Possibly INFP would be my guess. And so I think that she has a really good fit for a teacher with her personality type this year, which is neat and special. I don't think that happens very often, especially if you're not most teachers tend to be in the SJ direction. So if you're not an SJ, you're less likely to get a teacher who's a lot like you.
Yeah, for sure. Actually, the conflict has been over jealousy of Lily's friendship with June.
Whose friendship with June?
Lily's.
Oh, really?
Yeah, June referred to her as her bestie in front of, and I explained this, a bestie is a tier, not a person. But big feelings.
Aw, yeah. Lily is, she always, like, she calls people her bestie, but then she always just tells her friends, like, I have lots of besties. You're my bestie, too.
Yeah, we were talking about navigating that. I mean, that's been the theme of the week of, like, you have, I mean, again, like, it's a tier, it's not a person. But I think it was really hard for the other friend to accept this like new friendship.
Aww, yeah. I like that saying it's a tier, not a person.
It's from the Mindy Project. When she said that, my whole life made sense.
Okay, so the next clip, I ask her how she gets along with her INTJ brother. And remember, he's in the room. What is it like trying to relate to your brother, Riker? Do you feel like you get along well?
Sometimes.
It's a hard to answer when he's in the room, isn't it?
Sometimes. Most of the time. Like half of the time.
Why do you think you guys, why do you think you guys do get along sometimes or don't get along other times?
Because sometimes, like, if I'm, like, in a certain mood, it makes an argument. But, like, if I'm feeling happy and I'm just ready to do, like, anything, then, like, I'll do, like, whatever. But sometimes I get tired or just something happens. And I just shift from, like, happy to angry or happy to sad.
So you feel like it depends on your mood. When you're in a happy and flexible mood, then you feel like it goes well.
Uh-huh. But, like, when I'm tired, cranky, they're like,
and then it doesn't go well, huh?
It doesn't go that well.
Do you feel like when you're tired and cranky, does it not go well because of you or because of Riker? Or because of both of you?
I think it's because of both of us.
Riker says agree to disagree.
and not that angry.
This is very insightful.
Yeah, she's very emotionally aware and emotionally insightful. And it was definitely through like listening to her and thinking about this afterward that it's become very apparent that like she is aware of the role that she plays in their arguments and he is not so much. And again, they have the same parent. Like, we're having all these emotional discussions in the house, but she is aware of when her emotions are affecting things and he's not aware of when his emotions are affecting things, which tracks with the personality type. Like, introverted feeling, that's top for her. Like, she knows where her emotions are at. And so having someone like a guide, like a parent, be able to talk through those with her and kind of show her, oh, this is where, you know, that those emotions came out. She's able to learn that very easily. Riker, introverted feelings third in his stack. It's not as easy to access. It's not easy for him to go inward and read, where are my emotions? Where are they coming from? How are they might be affecting what is happening right now?
But even at 8, to be able to articulate that I handle things better based on my emotional state is like very, I mean, I feel like it took me a while to figure that out.
Yeah.
I had this situation this week where something that was like very upsetting to me, and I didn't know really how to handle it. And I just realized, like, if I sit on these emotions, like, I'm just going to, like, send a sassy email of regret. So I called up this person. I said, I don't have any action items for you. I'm not asking anything of you. I just want to identify this feeling so that it doesn't escalate in the future. And I was like, oh, my God, it took me almost till 40 to, like, not recreate a story of, like, this person did this because of this or, you know.
Yeah.
And to say, like, this is how I feel. And I don't want this to escalate.
Yeah.
Lily seems to understand that at 8.
She understands it. She's not at the application stage yet. But, you know, I mean, I feel like it's a good step for her age, for sure. Yeah. For sure. There's definitely not the application stage. Like, when I hear them fighting, it's like, oh God, here it goes. It's just like, they're both one-upping each other, just getting worse and worse. And then when it happens, like in the car, I'm always like, we need to table this. You guys are both, both your emotions are really high. And Marker's like, my emotions aren't high. They're not high. And I'm like, okay. Like, we need to table this. You can talk about it later when you aren't so upset. And I will be, because it's something to be upset about, because she's being blah, blah, blah. So I will be upset later too. And I'm like, I will be upset. And she can't like stop in the moment either. And she recognizes that and says it too. She'll be like, I can't stop because my emotions are just so big. I'm like, I get it. It's really hard. That's a lifelong skill that some people never learn. So,
yeah.
And then this next clip is kind of talking about how she is in like new and unfamiliar situations. So you know how we've talked about your personality sometimes, right?
Yes.
So kids who have that same personality type that you do, who are ISFPs, they often are very loving and cuddly with their parents or others who they're very close and comfortable with. But they don't necessarily show their heavily emotional interior to others very easily, to others besides their parents and people they're close with. And they can be more shy and reserved in new and unfamiliar situations. But if they've learned to trust someone, they can create very strong connections with their friends and loved ones. Does this sound like you?
Yes.
Do you have any examples?
On my first day of school, like, I felt really shy, but, like, once I started making friends, I just couldn't even think about being shy at school. Mm. It just felt safe at school again.
Okay, yeah. How long do you feel like that? How long did that take, do you think?
I think it took, I'd say 3 or 4 days.
Oh, that's it.
3 or 4 days. Or, like, maybe a week.
Okay.
Like, a week. Because, like, I needed time to settle into, like, where I was. And get, like, to trust, like, the people who are there.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is common in all introverted kids, the warming up in new situations. We've talked about that a lot on the podcast. Something I've noticed with Lily, at least compared with Riker and some other introverted kids I know, is that she tends to adapt more quickly. Like there's a lot of anxiety leading up to the moment. And sometimes the first day is hard, but then she adapts very quickly when she's there, sometimes even within that first day. And I think that's that extroverted sensing, being able to adapt to the moment. Whereas I would imagine, and you can tell me how it is with June, but with an ISFJ, that it might be a slower process. Like they need the experience to build up to show them that, like, over time, I've had a good time. For the last 3 weeks, it's been okay. So now I feel okay. Whereas Lily can kind of adapt a little more quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say less, maybe less anxiety beforehand, but like anxiety 5 minutes before, and then longer on the back end.
So we had one instance that I can cite also was when she joined soccer in the fall, and it was her first time playing soccer. And they, you know, that's Bend Parks and Rec soccer kind of like puts people on teams by schools, but she goes to a very small school, and there was no one else in her grade from her school on the
Oh,
girls.
that's hard.
So she was put on a team with kids from other schools who she didn't know. And she had a really hard time. She was a little bit nervous before the first day, and then the first day didn't go well because she was actually teamed with other small schools, and all the girls knew each other and had been on the same team the year before. And so they were kind of cliquey. And she left the day feeling like she hadn't made any friends, and she didn't want to go back. Like she was adamant she didn't want to go. She hated soccer. She never wanted to go again in her entire life. Like it was tears, tears, tears. I emailed the like parents' email list and just said, "Hey, my daughter's having a really hard time as the new girl. Like, is there anyone who could like invite her in to chat during the like break or whatever next time?" I got so many like nice email. Parents are so nice, you know, they want to fix it. So many nice emails back where they had talked to their friends, and I was like, okay, so and so is going to invite you to play, and so and so is going to invite you to talk, and so and so. And so she was feeling a little bit better knowing she had like some people who might, but she was still a little bit nervous. So we're driving there. We get there and we're like rushing a little bit. We get out of the car and I'm like trying to put her scrunchie in. And these two girls who had come to practice together were like walking from the parking lot to the field, and they said, "Lily." And she was like, "Yeah?" Said, "Come walk with us to the field." And she said, "I'm putting my hair up in a scrunchie." And they said, "We'll wait for you." And they just sat down. She was so excited. And I like finished putting her hair in her scrunchie, and she just like ran off with them. And she had the best time. She was like, "I have so many friends now, and I love soccer. Soccer's the best thing ever."
I love that.
Yeah. So all it took was, and I've heard before, someone told me somewhere along the way, and I honestly can't remember who or when, that introverted feeling needs to feel invited. And that is something that I've tried to remember with Lily, is she needs to feel invited. And so that was what helped her in that moment. So special tip for kids with introverted feeling, they need to feel invited.
I love that. And I think at this age, I don't know if this is something that you struggle with, but it's something I struggle with. Is when to involve parents. When is it a time to say, hey, this is happening? I've only done it a few times and I have never regretted it. It has always made the situation better. There are times where they can work it out, but there's times where you like need a parent to like you're saying, you grease the wheels.
I feel like I always try and think first, is there a way that I can coach her to make this better? And if it seems really, really hard, then let's get some like parental support in there, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, it's always, and especially like as we're getting towards Riker's age. It's that same thing with like, do I email the teacher or not? Or do I go like tell the teacher himself? And like, you know, there needs to start to be some independence as they start going towards middle school. And yeah, it's just
It's
like a
hard. It's hard to know when to.
case by case basis, I guess.
Yeah, it's not easy.
So then this next clip is she talks about her own emotional process when she's feeling upset, which I liked. It's a, you know, a nice little glimpse into the introverted feeling interior.
Kids who have the same personality type as you often easily get their feelings hurt and don't handle conflict or criticism very well. You know what criticism is?
Yes, I do. I don't like it.
They take most things personally. And parents might find that even a gentle correction can lead to a deep emotional response. So it can be difficult for kids like that to move through their emotions on someone else's timeline. Do you know what that means?
No.
Like if mama says, okay, I know you're feeling upset, but we gotta go.
You can't do this to me.
So does that sound like you?
Yes.
What are some things that you do or your parents do that you think helps you with this?
Sandra, I just heard Bill Burr's rant saying how women should be supporting female athletes and not Real Housewives who just yell at each other.
That's ridiculous. Real Housewives is a sport. Join us on From the Bleachers, where we analyze the strategy and gameplay that our favorite reality stars use to earn additional seasons of play and social media fame.
And if you're lucky, Sandra will pull out her apology play rubric so you can all see what an easy grader I am.
I'm sorry, Mandy, but if you think Monica's apology to Heather on Salt Lake City deserved anything over a 2.5, you're delusional.
Whether we're breaking down confrontation play, relishing the bravo, bravo, bravo moments, or awarding a tardy for the party, we are the only place you'll find in-depth analysis of the plays that your favorite housewives are making on our screens.
From the Bleachers, a Real Housewives game analysis is available everywhere podcasts live.
I think if that happens, it helps to be like, not be around like anybody, like not even like my friends or my family. It just helps to get some space and think, you know, and let it pass, because I can switch very easily. So I just need to think about some other things and have some space when that happens.
That makes sense, yeah. What do you think about when you're by yourself?
Well, I think about other times where, like, I've been happy and, like, things that aren't sad. It's hard to do that sometimes, but I'm capable of it.
I know you are.
And it helps a lot because, like, it makes me forget about the sad things and remember the happy things.
Oh, that's nice. I didn't know you do that.
I do that sometimes. Like, if I'm really sad, like, after an argument, I go into my room to think.
Yeah, I know you do
and,
that.
And, like, I turn on my story or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It also helps to think about something else, even if it's not happy. Like, not sad or angry, just better than those. Like, can't be like the happiest thing in my life, but like it has to be somewhat happy, like to put my mind on a story or a book and like think about it.
Does it help to talk about it? Like if mama says, do you want to talk about it, does that help?
No way.
you don't like to talk about it right away, huh?
Not right away, but like after 5 minutes,
then you can talk about it.
Yeah,
after.
I'm technically waiting for you to come in and say.
Okay, but you don't want to talk about it right away.
No way. That, if you come in right away, I'm gonna say, go away. Okay. Get away here.
Okay, noted. Well, that's a nice little picture into exactly what happens. When she's upset, she goes in her room, she needs a little time to herself, and then I go in, and then we talk.
She's practically waiting.
So, yeah, I liked that I asked her. I would recommend anyone with kids to go through and ask some of these questions, because it was fun hearing her answers, and you know, I'm not sure what I would have known that she actually focuses on trying to think of like happy things. I didn't know that. And that's really interesting to know that like internal part of herself. Sometimes she'll like write a song or a poem when she's upset, or she'll like write in her diary. Sometimes she just like listens. She has, you know, she has like the library app on her tablet. So even when there's no screen time, she's allowed to go into the library app and listen to stories. So she'll do that. She definitely needs some time. I can't go in right away. I can't follow her in. She wants some time alone first. Usually she hisses at me like a cat. That's her way of telling me to get out.
Like, okay, I mean, it works. It's effective.
Too soon. I'm backing out.
I feel like that's like such an introverted quality. Like you just need the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me process it first. I'm not ready to talk to you about it yet.
Yeah. Then I feel like there's the introverts that never want to talk about it. And then the introverts like Lily who are like, and I'm practically waiting, right? Like and they're ready to talk. They really do want to talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Riker, it's when it comes to feelings anyway, it's a never want to talk about it. Yeah. You know, he'll want to talk about how maybe someone wronged him and that they need to be righted, but how he feels about it, not so much.
No, I love it.
Okay. Let's see. Where are we? Okay. So in this one, I ask her another question about introverted feeling, and she has a very unexpected and sweet response.
Kids who have the same personality type as you are often very compassionate. Their depth of feeling leads them to have a great care for the emotions of others because they understand the depth of human emotion even when they're little. Many little kids like you are attracted to caring for animals or babies, and as they grow older, they're drawn to championing causes that support people or beings who are less fortunate and cannot fight for themselves. Does this sound like you?
Yeah, it does. It sounds a lot like me.
Do you have an example?
Well, when I grow up, I do want to do gymnastics because I love that. Mm-hmm. But there are more things that I think I could be other than being a teacher or things like that. I think I want to save the world or help it in one way or another. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I don't like what's happening with like the plastic and things. Mm. And I really want to help us move on through this, you know, and get through it and be better.
I think that's great. What about now? Like, not just in the future, but is there anything now, like taking care of animals or things like that, that you like to do?
Well, at school, I want a class pet for some reason. Because, like, I get to care for it. Mm. And we have this class job where we water the plants. Mm. And I really like that job because there are plants at everybody's desks, but there are also plants around the sidelines. Mm. And I usually don't see people watering those plants as much as the ones on people's desks. Mm-hmm. So I like to give those just as much water as like everything else.
You want to make sure that those plants aren't forgotten, huh?
Because like they all need water to live. Why only focus on some of them? Because some of them are dying. Because like, and there are some that are like behind things. Mm. And like, those are hard for me to reach, but I always don't forget them. And there even is this one that's browning. Mm. But I still water it. No matter what state they are, I water that plant. Mm.
Yeah.
Because I believe they can get better.
Yeah. I like that you have faith in all plants.
And all humans.
And all humans. That's lovely.
Don't forget the plants on the sidelines.
She like completely, I love it, showed her big heart, but also like the economic principle of the tragedy of the commons, like all in one sentence. They water the plant on their desk, but not the ones on the outside.
It was like such, she's never told me that before about the class job with the plants. Like, I had no idea. I was like, that is the perfect example of what I was asking you. That is amazing. Yeah. So that just like championing for things that can't take care of themselves and just wanting to take care of all of them. Very, very sweet.
The
That was great.
sideline plants.
She's got a future. She definitely will need to talk to you when she's a little older and see if
Get a
she's ready.
job. We got a job for her.
Yeah. Then in this next clip, I ask her about good listening.
Kids who have the same personality type as you are often naturally good listeners.
That sounds like me.
They seem to focus with their whole body on what someone is saying. Listening to their voice tone and noticing their facial expressions in addition to the words they're saying. Though they may form opinions inwardly on what they're hearing, they rarely communicate those opinions outwardly unless in a moment of hurt or anger. Does that sound like you? We can do the first part first.
Yeah, it sounds a lot like me. It's me. You're describing me, aren't you?
I am. Do you have an example?
Well, in the class, sometimes when we're doing things, I'm listening and like, sometimes kids like mumble while doing it, but like I don't really focus on that. I always just listen to the teacher, and when she stops, then it's hard for me to know, like, then I have to listen to, but then like I'm really listening to them and it's annoying.
Oh, like the background noise of kids talking
yeah,
is
so
hard.
Like if I'm listening to somebody like who's louder than the others, if they stop because of little noises, then the little noises feel louder.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it's a little harder.
Yeah.
That.
The second part of this was that though kids who have the same personality type as you might often, while they're listening, they might form opinions inside on what they're listening to, they rarely communicate those. Like, they rarely say what those opinions are unless it's in a moment of like hurt or anger. Does that sound like you?
Yeah, it does. If there's like an argument, then like I listen to what they're saying, but like it's hard for me to just stop the argument quickly because like I feel emotions that hurt and like what they're saying just hurts my feelings and I can't stop because my emotions things you know, like that.
That's like when you and Riker are arguing and I tell you guys to stop. Is that what you're thinking of? Yeah. It's hard to stop when you feel like...
I just like, please, he's hurting me.
Yeah. Let me see. I have forgotten that was in there. So we kind of already talked about that. But yeah, she just... The emotion becomes so big that that's the only thing that she can focus on, right? The pain that this person is causing her. And then she can lash out. She can get a bit mean. She'll kind of poke. And she can't stop because the emotion is so big.
I'm going to feel that. And, you know, as like, you know, when we talk about the application phase of like importance of working out for all of those of us who have big feelings as a way to set them free.
Yeah. And, you know, as far as the listening part, we've talked about this before on the podcast, but the good listening, definitely, like she is so good at shifting with what's happening in the moment that she'll easily switch from like what she's doing, or even if she's in the middle of talking in the middle of a sentence and someone interrupts, like she'll just completely stop and like listen to what that person's saying. Like she has no problem shifting like that to a listening mode, which I feel like is A skill.
A very good skill.
Okay, we have two clips left. This second to last one here. When we are talking about when things go against your personal desires, which is very strong for the introverted feeler, how hard or easy is it to say no? So we're kind of getting a little bit into like the people pleasing here, which we've talked about before on the podcast in various ways.
Kids who have the same personality type as you often are in touch with their own values and desires, like what they want, from an early age. And they don't like the idea of doing things out of social or parental pressure. Do you know what that means?
Well, no.
They don't want to do something just because their friends or their parents want them to do it. They want to do something because it's in line with their own values and their own, like what they want to do.
I've got a lot of values in my heart, but there's also a lot of stuff that I do not value.
Okay.
Like, if I have a friend that likes, like, basketball or football, and they're like, do you want to play basketball and football? And I'm like, you can play that on your own. Okay. I don't want to play.
Yeah. Kids like you tend to march to the beat of their own drum, doing things because they believe in them. Not because a friend or parent pressured them to do it.
Pressure does not take in on me.
Yeah.
I don't give in to pressure.
Do you have any examples of when maybe you felt pressured to do something that wasn't in line with your values or your wants?
Well, like, if it was recess or something, and I was playing with, like, one of my friends, we're playing, and they're like, do you want us to play Foursquare? And I'm just like, I want to be with my friend and play with my friend, but I don't want to play Foursquare. So I like feel pressure.
Yeah.
But always when that happens, I always say no because I'm like, I don't want to play that.
Yeah.
Or like if Riker comes in my room and is like, you want to play Brawl Stars? I'm like, I don't want to get into an argument. Like I want to play with him, but I don't want to play Brawl Stars. So I always say no because I just don't want to do that.
Yeah. Is that hard for you? Do you feel like it's easy for you to say no or does that feel hard?
Easy most of the time. It's most of the time. But, like, sometimes if it's in, like, some kind of situation where, like, we are playing something together and then they suggest something and, like, I'm having fun and I'm just, like, I'm already happy and I don't really think about that much. I'm just like, no! I don't even really think about it much. I'm just like, I don't want to play that, so I'm going to go play something else. We had a really fun recess.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to go play something else right now.
What if a friend was really emotional about it? I was saying, like, what's really sad that you didn't want to play with them.
Oh, that it's really tough when that happens. I'm just like, oh, it's really hard to say no when that happens.
Yeah.
But every time I do it, it always seems to be no, even if they're emotional about it. Like, sometimes
you always stick to what you want.
Yeah, sometimes in rare occasions, I might say yes. But only a few times. Has that happened to me a lot.
How do you usually feel after that? If you really wanted to say no, but you say yes just because someone was sad, how do you feel about that afterwards?
Afterwards, I'm just like, sometimes I end up liking it, but if it's a sport or something like that, I'm just like, I'm not really having fun. And like after we do it for a little bit, I end up just going because I don't like it.
Yeah.
Even when I said yes, okay, we can play it. No, I'm then like 5 minutes in, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go play something else. Can we play something else? Because, like, I don't want to play this anymore.
So a long discussion about playing who wants to play what, but
But it just shows she knows her own mind and what she wants to do. And she's not, like, she's comfortable going on her own.
Yeah. And she's swayed by emotions emotionally. Like, it hits her emotions when someone's emotional, but it doesn't make her change her mind.
Yeah, that's a powerful skill to have. Mm-hmm. I sometimes see this in June and I'm like, well, why don't you just go play? Like, why don't you like get along with other people? She's like, I'm going to go do this.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, I don't have that skill.
I was thinking with extroverted feeling with June, there'd be more of the people pleasing might kick in more because she'd be thinking more about the other person's emotions than and wants and desires than her own.
Yeah, I think that she does, but she also won't be like talked into something.
Mm.
It really will get to her and she'll come home and she'll just like kind of unload about it.
Yeah.
Like, she wanted to do this, I don't want this, and we did this. And I, you know, I also say sometimes you can say you don't want to do that.
Yeah.
A lot of times she like won't, but it's a whole thing. It is a whole thing. Mm. But she's also been able to now start saying, well, I feel like that was like manipulative to get me to do what they wanted.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wonder how much of this is, you know, growing up in emotionally healthy households too, where your own boundaries are respected and everything, which, you know, maybe we didn't have growing up.
Oh, not at all. Like, I just see like in myself, like such the youngest people pleaser, like, oh, if they want to do that, we're going to do that. I mean, mm-hmm. I still do that to this day. And I'm like, oh, I kind of admire that in her.
Learning how to win affection.
Yeah, exactly. I admire that her and Lily. They're like, no, I'm good. But like, that doesn't affect our underlying relationship that I'm going to go play basketball and you're going to play Foursquare.
Right.
That's so healthy. I can't even imagine that.
Yeah. So this really shows up at home with Lily for sure. Like, if she doesn't want to do something or she's not in the mood, it's freaking impossible. Like, you know, load or unload the dishwasher, like take a bath, whatever. If she's not in the mood, it's impossible. She's immovable. But most of the time, because of that extroverted sensing, she's so easygoing that I find as a parent, it really keeps the relationship smooth and releases stress if we just let it go when she doesn't want to do something in that moment. And we just wait for a time when she's back to her easygoing self. Most of the time, it's not worth forcing.
Yeah.
It's harder for things like when it comes up with things like homework, where it's like it has to be done by tomorrow. But I also try to remember that as an adult, she's going to have to figure out how to function with this personality preference. You know, like she's like, I can't teach her to do it my way and then think now she's just going to do it my way because she doesn't have my personality preferences. And it's going against her natural self. And that's going to just burn her out. She has to figure out how to work within her own preferences. So a lot of times what we'll do is, and I think I got some of this from you and you saying the way you work is like you work with your mood. And like, sometimes you have to set the mood up for yourself. So sometimes, you know, it'll be like, she doesn't want to do her homework. It's like, okay, how can we set the mood so that the mood is that she wants to do her homework, you know, versus like, nope, well, the rule is you have to do your homework by this time. That's the rule in this house, you know, because she doesn't work by rules. She works by moods.
It's hard.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, we're going to get like all cuddly and have our snack. And then like, maybe you can cuddle into bed and read or do something that makes you comfortable for like, you can do a little tablet for how long do you think you need to get like in a better mood? She's like, I don't know. How about an hour? Sure. That sounds good. Okay. I'll come back in at like 6. And then at that time, then we'll do homework. And then usually that works. And then she's happy to do her homework.
Yeah. That tracks.
Yeah. Okay, our very last clip. Lily gives her advice to parents of kids like her.
I love this.
And Riker decides to chime in and share one thing that he's noticed about her personality type.
Do you have any advice for parents of kids who are the same personality type as you? Like, what can they do to make childhood better or easier or like help you through things? Or
I don't... Let me think.
Is there something that me and Dada do that you like or something that you wish we would do?
Well, I like that you wait before you come in and talk to me. You don't just like, I run in my room and then like 5 seconds in you come into my room and you're like, are you okay?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you give me time. Mm. And then come in because, like, it's nice to have a talk even if you're feeling emotional feelings and you want space, it's nice to have a talk like after a little bit of time alone.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to know that you like that. Is there anything else that you want to say about your personality type or anything else that we talked about?
There's this one thing about me that, like, I don't know if it relates with my personality type, but, like, every time somebody asks questions, I answer them. But then they're like, are there anything else you want to tell me about that? I'm always just like...
You need specific questions.
There isn't anything out of the blue.
Yeah.
I need something specific to tell you. Okay. I can't tell you if it's just like, is there anything else? I don't have any specific. If I don't have any specific things, then I'm not going to answer.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Like, we did this thing in traveling school where, like, we wrote about ourselves, and I did all the specific questions, but I put nothing on the
open-ended ones.
Yeah. I put absolutely nothing. So.
Yeah, that might be about your personality.
It's just something I do. Yeah. I need specific instructions.
That makes sense.
Not just like, do whatever you... Just tell me anything about you. And I'm just like... What?
Like what? What do you want to know,
huh? What do you want to know about me? Mm-hmm. Do you have anything else?
Well, did Big Brother, was there something you wanted to add? Yes. All right, come up close to the microphone.
When you're talking about, like, questions, you always ask, can I ask you something?
That's true. She asks permission before she asks a question.
Can I tell you something?
Ask a question about asking a question.
Yes, she does always preface her questions with, can I ask you a question? And then she asks a question.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I always say, can I tell you something?
And I'm always like, I don't know, can you?
That's tough.
Well, maybe that. I know that other people who have your personality type often say that they need to feel invited to participate in something. Like they want to feel wanted or like they're valued.
Like they belong.
Yeah. So maybe that's you want to make sure that I actually want to listen to you before you say
like
something.
I'm allowed to? Do you want to listen to me?
Yeah. Is that? Do you think that's why you do that?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Okay.
I think that might be.
Well, I'm always happy to hear what you have to say. Thank you for doing this with me. This was really fun.
Yay!
I already knew a lot about you, but I think I even learned a few more things. Riker with his dad joke.
I love it. Can you?
So yeah, again, just reiterating her advice is to give your child space first and then emotionally check in and do cuddles and all that. She doesn't like my open-ended questions. She wants specific questions. So that's probably the sensing preference, right?
Mm-hmm.
Although I would say I feel like that too. And I'm not, I don't have a sensing preference, but it might be my people-pleasing preference. And I'm like, I want to make sure I'm giving you exactly what you need. So tell me exactly what you need.
So like, what are the parameters of this? Yeah.
And then, yeah, and Riker just, he finds it weird that she always says, can I ask you a question? And then she asks the question. He's like, just ask the question.
It does show that she's just like more emotionally in tune to how the other person is too. Like, is it a good time to ask you a question?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that it could even just be that it gives her extra time to think about how she's going to word her question. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's not even that deep, but it could be the emotionally aware of the other person. It could be wanting to feel invited. Like she wants to be heard. Who knows? But she does do that all the time.
Maybe she's already to be a politician when they say, that's a great question. They're just buying time to think of their answer.
It's a good skill, good public speaking skill. So, yeah, thanks for joining us today. I would love to, when your short session is over, get back on the mic together and do a kind of like final, why do they do that episode? Maybe like just kind of like a wrap up.
I would love that.
Yeah, because I think we're bringing it to a close here. If you're interested in my new podcast, you should go check that out. It's called From the Bleachers, a Real Housewives game analysis. And we talk about Real Housewives as a sport. It's a
Because
lot
it
of
is.
fun. It is totally a sport. And that's been my new kind of pet project lately. And I've really been enjoying that and having a lot of fun with it. And you can follow me on Family Personalities. You can follow M at Emerson, the number 4 OR. She's about to go into, I don't know what,
Chaos.
into chaos, to more legislation, or I don't know what you call it, but
Yeah, I don't know. What do we call it besides a short session? Or, I guess legislative session.
there you go. So she's going to be busy, busy, busy with that. And then we'll meet back here on the mic when she's done and we'll kind of close things out.
I'm excited. Close the cannon. Well, I'm sad to close the cannon, but
Yeah.
excited to get to close it in an official way.
Yeah, I think we've had a lot of interesting conversations, and I'm glad that we went through this together.
Me too.
That's it for our show this week. We would like to apologize to our children, our parents, our spouses, and anyone else we may have lovingly thrown under the bus this episode. Thank you for listening, and catch us next time on the Family Personalities Podcast.